Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lane.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babes?
I am tired, but I'm not going to whinge about it because there's nothing more boring than hearing about people talk about how tired they are. How are you doing?
Yeah, well, I'm really good, thank you. Really good.
How's your arm? I saw you were getting tattooed the other day.
Yeah, so I did about 5 hours worth of tattooing on Monday. I started a sleeve, I don't know how many years ago, and just never got round to ever finishing it. Sorry, I'm losing my earphones here.
It's all right.
I've got so many piercings in the stuff, push them out. So yeah, well, I started having a sleeve years ago and just never got round to finish it for one reason or another. And then, yeah, recently I've just been kind of having in a few block sessions where I was going in for like 4 hours, getting a bit more done, another 4 hours. Then I've done 5 hours on Monday and I'm pretty much almost there. I've got about, I'd say, an hour tops just to kind of finish things off, bit of shading. But
with a sleeve, is you all like, do you get it designed first or do you kind of do it as you go?
I think everyone's slightly different, but you kind of build up around, I mean, for me personally, mine's all kind of like a theme.
Yeah.
I think the beauty with tattoo is you can kind of have whatever you want, wherever you want. But for me, I kind of, especially being a sleeve, I wanted it all to kind of be part of a theme. So mine's kind of all quite spiritual. I've got like, I've got my guardian angel, I've got Cupids and all stuff like that. I'm in that decision already where I know I've got one more session to have done and I'm thinking, oh, do I do the next one? I've got a few bits on the other one already and I'm like, do I turn that into a sleeve? I weren't thinking that by about 5 hours in on Monday, bearing in mind.
It
is what it is. It's not like being kissed by kittens, put it that way.
Ooh. See, I've never had one, so I honestly, I don't know. I've only ever had one piercing as well, so I mean, I really don't know what it would feel like, but from judging from what people say, it depends where you get it.
I think placement on the body is a massive part. I don't actually find them too bad. For the majority of the session, it's fine, but I think it's certain areas. So as it started hitting around my elbow and upper kind
like
of...
Like thinner arm, skin, is it? Like where the skin's a bit thinner?
Yeah, where it's like really paper thin. It's it really burns. You feel that, but some places it's not too bad, but considering I've got such a phobia of needles, everyone's like, how are you covered in tattoos and you don't like needles? But with a tattoo gun, you don't actually see the needle.
Yeah, fair.
So, and you know you're getting something out of it as well at the end of it. But
yeah, and especially if you really want it, I guess, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So, by next week, I'll be able to show you that. Oh, no, it won't. It's got to wait. In a couple of weeks, it'll be all finished so I can show you. And then I'll let you know if I'm cracking on with the next one.
Well, I mean, once you, it gets a bit addictive, doesn't it? Once people start, you know, you don't want to stop. I get that.
You just start thinking, oh, what next? What would I like? So I've always got a few ideas of what I like. And then it's what part of the body do you want? And I kind of really like leg pieces as well.
You can have all four limbs.
Full body piece.
Yeah, love it. Oh my God, obsessed. well, I had a bit of a time last week, I tell you. I found a stray dog on the street, right?
Oh, what, near where you live?
Well, so I say stray, more lost, yeah. It was a little dog, little cute thing, girl dog, no collar. So I took her to a vet's nearby, but well, the nearest one, but it was like 5:45, so most of them were closed. So I had to go all the way to Poplar, got there, no microchip. I ended up having to take this dog with me to meet my friends in the pub who I was going to see. Ended up though pretty horrible. I put it all over Facebook thinking someone will have lost this dog, and I had all these people coming forward being like, that's my dog. So I was having to deal with people who weren't even us. Can you send me pictures and stuff? And I was like, I'm sorry, but this is definitely not your dog. I can tell. I've got her in front of me right now. Ended up with...
And do you think they had actually lost his dog when I was just trying to get a free dog?
Definitely some of them had lost their dogs because they had proper posters and all that. You know what I mean? That they were sending me. But they, you know... It ended up with me having... Newham Animal Services call me, basically asking me if I'd stolen a dog from the street. So
in the end,
it was all fine. The woman on the phone was very nice in the end, but I think she'd obviously been asked by this other woman
And what are they like? Social services for dogs, this company looks like.
Basically, well, it was the council. It was essentially Newham Council.
Has said, have you stole a dog? If well, because stole it, why would you be asking if it was theirs and trying to, you're well, trying to be kind?
I think the problem was is that I didn't take it. So I found this dog. I went to go see my friends. They have two very small dogs. So they were like, let us take her and we can like work it out whenever the owners come forward. So because I'd found her in Newham, but then she was then taken essentially to South London, people thought it just all sounded a bit sus. But anyway, we did eventually find the owners and they sent pictures that were definitely the same dog and she responded to the right name. So just a bit of a nightmare, really. But
did,
do you know what?
Did the doggy social services go and pick her up from your friends?
No, the owners did. But then I had to put everyone in touch with everyone so that no one could accuse me of thieving the dog. But I tell you what, you try and do a good thing, right? And I'm not trying to like big myself up, but I did think I was doing the right thing. And then to get all this like, not abuse, that's the wrong word, but like, just like people who were really suspect of you and sort of like thinking like ulterior motives and all that. I genuinely think if I found a lost dog again, I'll just leave it because it just wasn't worth the horrendous hassle.
Like you say, you've tried to do the right thing and a small dog would be absolutely terrified. I can't think if my baby girl was lost on her own. I mean, she's so small. She wouldn't know what... She'd be terrified. So the fact that someone's trying to do something kind, it's really sad that actually it kind of gets kicked back in your face. But happily, it's nice that there's a happy end of the story and that she's found her family again.
Exactly. Good ending.
And she's had a lovely day. She's been down the boozer. She's been over to South.
The funny thing was is she became really obsessed with me really quickly. So she was like jumping up. Like I went to go to the loo in the pub and she was barking and crying. And everyone was like, you need to keep this dog. This is basically going to be like your dog. And I was like, you are really over romanticizing this story. I literally just found a dog in the street.
She knew that you had helped her. That's probably what it was.
Yeah, probably right. And
the
also,
owners get in touch with you directly after.
Yeah, on Facebook. Yeah,
and was they pissed off or they understood what you had done?
No, they were fine. I did ask for a lot of evidence. So I wanted quite a lot of pictures and stuff because you don't want to give it to a wrong person or whatever.
Of course, yeah.
But no one else has come forward, so I mean, I assume it must all be fine in the end. But anyway,
it's surprising though that she wasn't chipped because I almost thought that was like a. It's
a legal requirement. Yeah, it is. But some people just don't. It doesn't just because it's supposed to be done like that doesn't mean it is.
All's well that ends well. She's back with the family.
Something
to tell.
And I don't have it. I don't have a dog to deal with. So that's fine by me. Lesson learned. Well, we have an exciting show coming up today on a completely different. I mean, could be further away from like a lost dog. We are talking to Melanie Rose from Netflix's How to Build a Sex Room. Oh. I mean, really, the opposite end of the scale. She's coming up first today. Then we've got Catherine Louise Byrne, runner-up of The Apprentice. This year, and then we also have Paige Thorne from Love Island who came in fourth this year, so should be a great show. Great show. What about showbiz news this week, Bob? Anything caught your eye? It's been a big day today, isn't it?
I think we've got to start by talking about the 25th anniversary of Princess Diana. I just can't believe it's 25 years, and every big milestone there is, I remember thinking that after the 10th, 15th, 20th. It's one of them things that I think, especially if you're an age where you do remember that, everyone remembers where they was when they found out that Diana died.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you kind of hear a lot of American people talking about where was you when JFK was shot?
Yeah, or the moon landing or something like that. Yeah,
I kind of think that it's of that level for us over here. And I mean, obviously, and globally, of course, because she was such a superstar. And just so, I just still think it's so, so sad and terrible. And that the boys, I mean, I always just think of, because I think I'm very similar ages to Harry. I think he's a year older than me. I think I was 11 at the time. I think he was 12. And I remember him walking behind her coffin.
Yeah.
And that for a 12-year-old, and I mean, and obviously for William as well, it's awful, what they've been about 15. But I remember thinking, gosh, how do you walk behind them all that way in front, behind a coffin, in front of that amount of people, knowing it's like televised across the world. But I think they realise what amazing work their mum did and how special she was. And I think in a way it's testament to Diana that people are still talking about it 25 years later because she was such an incredible person.
Yeah. I mean, I'm inclined to agree with you on that. I know, I think it was Harry spoke about walking behind the coffin on the day of her funeral. And he was saying about how he was getting really kind of internally upset with seeing all these people sort of mourning her when they didn't even know her. Obviously, difficult situation to be in because she was a very public figure. Yeah, I mean, she was a complicated woman. I don't think you can, like, there's any denying that. She definitely, she had her issues and demons and stuff, but obviously also leaves an incredible legacy in terms of the charitable work she did, certainly with, you know, victims of HIV and AIDS and things like that, when she was pictured hugging and touching them at a time when it was considered like a taboo, really. Which I think is incredible, really, that sort of, you know, and all the things she did with landmines and you know, educating girls and all sorts. She was a real advocate for change and charity. And I think, yeah, you know, that's an amazing legacy to have. I do wonder what she'd be like if she was still alive now. I reckon she'd be a bit of a scatty mum. She'd be like, she'd probably like be in the audience for Strictly Come Dancing, watching that. Yeah. She probably would have had a little bit of surgery. I don't know.
Strange to think of Diana, but like, what would she be now? 60?
She'd be in her 60s, yeah early 60s.
But like you say, you touched upon, obviously, Diana and her struggles. Bearing in mind, I think 25 years ago, and obviously she suffered before she died, from what we know, obviously, I don't know for sure, but there was a time and an era that we didn't really know a lot about mental health. So
definitely not, yeah.
I think it was different times, and actually, if it had been these times, I'd like to think that there would have been more help for her. I think it's no secret that she suffered with bulimia.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
And yeah, it just shows you in that window of time how things have changed and that we have labels for things now and how far we've come. Obviously, it doesn't help the people back then that was undiagnosed or we didn't really know what to call things. But yeah, it is interesting to think of her in her 60s. I've got no doubt in my mind she'd still be incredibly glamorous.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
stunning. Yeah, very sad, and heart go out to the boys today.
Of course, yeah. I mean, it's obviously, yeah, it always must be a tragic day for them. But interestingly, that they didn't do anything public. I think they've kind of decided that the days of publicly mourning her are behind them, and they'd like to like move on with their lives. And whatever they do, they've chosen to do privately, which I think I can kind of understand.
I think they made a statement, you know, at the 20th anniversary.
And they also
this
did
is the last time we will publicly. And then last year, obviously, because of the whole pandemic, it was delayed. But yeah, the statue they revealed last year. But I'm sure not a day goes by where they don't think of her. Diana, in so many ways, changed the path, didn't she?
100%.
And I'm sure she's looking down incredibly proud of both of them and the grandkids. And that's the sad thing as well. She never got to see any of her grandchildren.
But yeah. Hopefully they'll be able to carry on the incredible legacy that she's left, I guess.
I'm sure they will.
Right, our first guest, Melanie Rose from How to Build a Sex Room on Netflix, is here. Let's get her in and chat all things sex rooms, I guess.
I can feel the steaminess coming through the zone.
Almost there. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, my love.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. We're both so excited to speak with you.
Oh, I have to say, it's really lovely and beautiful to hear an English accent.
You've been doing lots of American chats, have you? On the show.
Just, yeah, I have. And I did talk to an English journalist a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, England accent, how fabulous.
Feels at home.
Yeah.
Yes, I've even got my cup of tea as well, darlings.
Oh, how lovely. So tell us, I mean, when you hear the name of this show, How to Build a Sex Room.
Yes.
Many things may be conjured up. But in reality, actually, the show is not, I haven't watched all of it, but I mean, like, you know, in reality, the show's actually not kind of as filthy as it might initially sound, is it? Tell me how you got involved with it and what you made of it when it was first brought to you.
Yeah, I think the selling point, you know, what's that old adage, sex always sells. Mm-hmm. So having sex in the title is bound to, excuse the pun, prick up a few ears here. You know, I think it, and I think you're right, as you get to watch the episodes, you realize it's really not just about how to build a sex room. It's about people's relationships and how they, you know, how they got together and why they need my help as an interior designer. It initially started, were you asking me a question about how it actually started with Netflix and ITV or?
And you and how you got involved. Yeah. So a bit of your history and all of that.
Yeah, I have been an interior designer for very many, many years. And in the last 10 years, I've specialized in building sex rooms. I actually got involved with the show simply because I was writing a series of erotica novels as a fictional character, more or less about my time as an interior designer designing these wonderful rooms. So I had a manager, and my manager was talking to Adam Scher of ITV America. And he was like, hang on a second, I need to meet this woman. So we met and he was like, you're not interested in anything to do with the books or a television series. I just want you as an interior designer. And I want to do the reality show of how you build sex rooms for, you know, for people that, you know, could be your next door neighbor.
And how does that first come back? Like you say, you've been an interior designer 4 years. So how do you go from your first job when someone says, can you do me a sex room? How do you go from normally doing a kitchen thinking it'll be a lovely island there with a vision, maybe a hot
to a swing and a and yeah and all sorts.
Yeah, how was that first gig for you?
Well, actually, you know, how it came about was quite interesting. I was actually working with a client of mine who I'd been working with for 4 or 5 years now. And we just happened to be in the bedroom. We were talking about how to, you know, locks on doors and, you know, closets and stuff like that. And they turned around to me and said, have you ever built a sex room before? And I was like, what? A sex room? No. And she said, oh, I think, you know, thought I'd be very good at it. And I was like, okay. So I went home and actually did a lot of research and was like, you know, just research, research, and research. And what I found was, oh gosh, these are lots of dungeons here. And, you know, they didn't look really appetizing. Well, not appetizing, but they didn't really look very luxurious and comfortable. And I thought, you know, this is a good opportunity to, you know, really do some of these rooms, but make them much more luxurious and bring that element of luxury and mix it with the erotic and exotic.
That's so true. Because I think if you say to a lot of people, sex room, automatically you think of a dark dungeon, whips and chains. Yeah, like you literally think of like Camelot's castle, don't you? Read like a proper down dungeon. Why shouldn't there be some soft furnishings and a bit of crushed velvet or something? Like, let's make it a little bit plush.
Oh, absolutely. You say sex room and everybody goes to dungeon and then they run for the hills. I'm like, for fuck's sake, come on. It can be luxurious. You know, don't think of it that way. You need to see it from my eyes and my perspective as a designer.
So do you start in mind with certain pieces of furniture? I guess every client's different, but now you're such a seasoned pro at doing sex rooms, do you think, right, what you're going to want is, I know, this lovely swing that's going to be great, or you already kind of can picture it?
I think certainly when I my most important thing is to actually listen to what the client's wants are and then, you know, delve into those really intimate secrets about their sex life, which then gives me an idea and start to form a picture in my mind of what they would like. You know, what are their fantasies? Do they want a room that's just purely dedicated to sex and make it luxurious? Or do they want a fantasy room, you know, because it's part of their alternative lifestyle? So pulling out those little nuggets of information from everybody, from my clients, helps me form an idea of what the room is going to look like.
Do you think that Fifty Shades of Grey has kind of influenced people to even think about this more? Because I do think there was a bit of a revolution in it being like an open thing almost when that first came out. And then suddenly people were thinking more about sex rooms and the like.
Yeah, I think, look, if you think about what E.L. James did for women, what she did really, in essence, whether you like the films or whether you like the books or not, it doesn't matter. What at her core, what she did was she made it okay for women to read erotica. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's just, that's brilliant. Men have always had Playboy, Hustler, and sort of like, you know, magazines that you would hide from your parents under the bed somewhere. Those have been around for years. But for mainstream, for women to be able to read mainstream erotica, that's what E.L. James did. Now, yes, did she help the sex industry, the sex toy industry? Absolutely, because she actually helped people. She opened their minds to other things out there that normally people keep quiet about. Mm. Same thing with my show. When the show dropped, apparently the sex toy industry, the adult toys, went up 123% wow. because of the show. That's because I was talking to people in a way that I think other people could relate to and were like, oh, you know what? The show sparked a conversation here. Mm. So why don't we go out and try a flogger? Why don't we go out and, you know, maybe we should try a vibrator or a couple's vibrator? And that was the purpose of the show.
What would your top tips be for anyone listening that thinks, I'm up for that, I like the sound of it, I've got a spare bedroom, might make it a sex room. What would you say to them? Where do they start? Or what's the good and the bad?
I think, look, let's take a bedroom scenario for starters. You don't want to look like a sex room, but you want to have something that's a little bit more romantic. You know, I would perhaps invest in a pair of underbed restraints. Easy. You know, nobody can hide see them. They'll be hidden. They can be hidden. I mean, have a look at some different types of sex toys. If it's a couple's toy, you know, there's a wonderful adage of people saying, you know, if I bring a vibrator in my bedroom with my husband, doesn't that make my husband redundant? No, it doesn't make him redundant. It's join in with the fun. Come and, you know, help me. You know, try the vibrator on me. I don't have to do it myself.
So, yeah, get involved.
Get involved more. And, you know, get some luxury sheets and some really nice bedding and make it more seductive. Things that I wouldn't do is are no-nos for me. If you've been in a pre-existing relationship and you've got old sex toys from your previous relationship, get rid of them.
Yeah.
For God's sakes. Yeah. Jesus, start afresh. Start a new chapter.
Yeah, no man, no dildo.
It's like, I don't care how many times you've cleaned that fucking thing. I, it comes with a history.
That's so true. For these couples that, and I guess everyone's slightly different, so I'm generalizing, but for couples that do have a sex room now, is that solely where they have sex? Gone are the days that they actually have sex in the bedroom they sleep in.
Look, no, I don't think so. I think you look at the show, you look at Hannah and Wesley, for instance, the couple that he's a sheriff, deputy sheriff. Their child has taken over the entire house. There's Lego bits everywhere. There's toys everywhere. So they really wanted an area that could actually be their sort of like adult play space where they could be themselves. And, you know, you don't know it's actually down there because I put on some Murphy doors. No, I think you should have sex in the bedroom still. I think you can design and relook at your bedroom and make it something more sumptuous. Gosh, I would encourage to have sex everywhere. Why not? On the sofas, you know, in the kitchen, I don't care. I think it's all about intimacy.
But it's right to say, I think, isn't it, that it's pretty much a fact that younger people are having less and less sex, aren't they? Why do you think that is, as someone that's sort of involved in this?
I don't know what that is. I mean, look, we're seeing our world change before our very eyes. I think the importance of, for me, and through this show, is that even if you're not having as much sex, at least be able to talk about it without feeling any shame or the feeling that you're being judged.
Mm.
Do you feel there is still a bit of a stigma to people talking about sex? I know we've come a long way to where it was maybe even 10, 15 years ago, but is there still an element of embarrassment or shame?
Oh, I think so, very much so. And especially what's really interesting now, I live in America, and, you know, sweeping generalization here, I think they do a lot of talking, but not a lot of doing. And I think there is that stigma of, you know, we don't want to talk about it. You know, there's always that stigma in England when, you know, if you were back in my day, you know, my generation, if your marriage was not going so well, your parents would just say, suck it up, shove it under the carpet and get on with it. Mm. Whereas now, you know, I think it's like, okay, this is not a healthy relationship, we can get out of it. But, you know, what I want people to do is actually talk about sex.
And with the success of the show, have you had any celebrities kind of contact you, slide in the DMs, drop you any emails saying that I've got a big old gaff here, let's do a section together?
Actually, you know, I have over several thousand DMs on my Instagram feed, and I'm like desperately trying to go through them. I can go through some of the comments, but the DMs are a bit too much for me. At this moment in time, no, but you never know.
Would you be up for the challenge of doing a select? I love that. So possibly NDAs might be involved.
Yeah.
Darling, I've always used NDAs. Absolutely. Yes. Are you kidding me?
I think they're less likely to appear on the show, but maybe they want something privately, perhaps. What about plans for another series at all?
We're still waiting to hear if we're going to have another series. I hope it comes soon, because I think a second season would be absolutely fantastic. I think just through all the press that it's garnered, and, you know, this show has sort of like sparked an awful lot of conversations, not just, you know, in America and in the UK, but around the world. So there are people that are, you know, want more, which is absolutely fantastic.
I can't see it not coming back, to be honest. I think it's had such a huge success and there's nothing like it. And on Netflix, you see so many interior design shows, and we're all fascinated with people's homes, aren't we? We've seen, especially off the back of like Selling Sunset, we're all interested on people's houses. And this is like just the next level of that.
It is. You're absolutely right. There is nothing on television like this. And, you know, I would say to people, if you haven't watched the show, you know, go and watch it on Netflix and just, you know, it's enlightening. Even I say that as a host. But, you know, I've helped a lot of people along the way. So it's been lovely.
Amazing. I really can't wait to watch the rest of it. Melanie, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I guess it's early days. What is it, about lunchtime there for you now? A bit earlier.
Oh, come
than
on,
that?
Darling. It's 10 o'clock and it's 93 degrees already.
I'll ask quickly before I let you go. Is your lamp Chanel?
Oh, don't you love it?
Stunning. I love it.
I love it.
You'll have to come round and do my place. Not necessarily a sex room, but we could do a few soft furnishings, a bit of lighting.
Oh, I'd be happy to help, darling.
I ain't got enough rooms for a sex room now. Speak to
me. Me neither.
I've done a spare room into a wardrobe. Should have met you first.
maybe I could have a sex cupboard
darling, where there's a will, there's always a way.
Exactly.
Amen. Amen. Oh, what a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melanie.
Oh, you're very welcome. Have a great rest of the evening for you. Have a great evening.
Will do.
My love. Take care, darling. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
I could speak with her all night.
So many questions you could ask.
The prime guest, when you interview some people and you're just fascinated, that is one of the people I want to sit on a dinner table with, start a main, desserts, couple of drinks, and just chew her ear off all night.
And plan your flat out, by all accounts.
Yeah.
And I can plan my my cupboard, how many slings and whips and things I can
how many whips and chains you can have hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, without it looking too weird, you know. Well, that was great. Our next guest, Catherine Louise Byrne from The Apprentices, is here, so let's get her in and chat.
Perfect. Hello, babe.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you both?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, that's all right. Thanks for having me.
What's been going down? Yeah. Like, what's life been like since The Apprentice?
Yeah. Weird. I'm just getting ready for Christmas pyjamas, actually. I opened that on Sunday, which is like, seems really early, but it's been, yeah, really different. It's just weird that everyone like all of a sudden knows who you are. You're like...
And how have you adapted to it? Do you kind of, is it still weird or it's becoming a bit more of the norm now?
I feel like it feels normal, but it took a while, like, to think, like, you would normally just go out and no one knows who you are, and then, like, people come up to you and they act like they know you, because obviously they probably feel like they do know you, because they've seen you on TV, and they act like you're your friend, and you're like, oh my god, do I know you or not? But No, I've had really nice like comments and I've not had anything bad. So it's been good.
Because I always remember at first, like people coming over when I first started the show and you're trying to rack in your head. And I used to be a hairdresser. And I used to, for a while, I went for a photo because I used to cut your hair. Did I go to school with you? Because they know you so much. That you think, how do you possibly know so much? And then you kind of think, oh, it's work. That's it. The penny kind of just drops.
Definitely. No, I get it. It's nice though. I do like it. It's like, I feel like Apprentice isn't like high level. Like I definitely wouldn't even class myself as a celeb. So it's just like, it's nice. It's a nice amount. If that makes
How's
sense.
The plans coming? You mentioned for Christmas. So I guess everything has to be in advance, doesn't it? So you're already in Christmas land.
Yeah, like I've been planning it for ages. But like last year, I was filming throughout August and I opened my shop a week after I stopped filming. So I felt really unprepared. Whereas this year, I feel like I'm in a much better place. So I'm ready to go. But I've been so busy getting everything ready. But no, I feel excited this year.
Tell us a bit about your business and what, you mentioned pajamas, isn't it?
Yes, so it's my fifth year. So I started it 5 years ago because I was looking for matching pajamas for myself. And at the time, they weren't in any of like the shops. So I found like a wholesaler, started selling online. And then, it just got really busy. And then I went on The Apprentice to expand from Christmas to like all year round. Mm. So that's where I'm at. But it's been, really exciting. I'm really excited for the future.
And it's one of the, I mean, for Christmas especially, because it's winter, but Christmas for me isn't Christmas. I always know I'm going to get a fresh set of pyjamas for Christmas. Yeah. And I look so forward to that Christmas night, having a belt and putting on my fresh, it's such a tradition, isn't it?
Yeah. I feel like it is for a lot of families, and especially in the last few years. So like I said, when I started it, matching pyjamas weren't really a thing.
Weren't a thing, no.
No, like 5 years ago. And then I think it was a year after they started coming into like some high street shops. And I mean, you could look at it as a negative because obviously you could never compete with like the retail giants. But actually, I think it's quite a positive because more people started this like trend or this like bit of a tradition really, so then more people are looking for matching pajamas, so I think it kind of helped the business actually that it did spread to like the big shops.
And are you happy with your time on The Apprentice? Like when you watch it back, when it comes to editing and how it all went, are you completely happy with the experience?
I am. I think, like, at the end of the day, I know it's a TV show, so I knew there would be like edits, and I know how like TV is edited. So like I was on the island 5 years
ago. I was gonna ask about that.
So like I know how it works, so I was kind of prepared for it, but I think overall I was really happy with the edit. Obviously there's a few things I was like, oh, that didn't happen like that, or I wish the viewers knew the restrictions we had so I made that choice or whatever, but overall like I was happy how I came across, and I think it was a true representation of who I am, which I think is the main thing. So
and how did it compare to the island?
I think it was a lot harder, to be honest.
Really?
I think the island was easy compared to The Apprentice.
In what way?
Like, I feel like The Apprentice is like, first of all, it's a competition, whereas The Island, you're not against anyone.
That's
it's just
true.
You either make it to the end or you don't.
Yeah.
So that straight away puts a lot more pressure on you. Obviously there's a lot more at stake, so there's £250,000 investment for your business. It's also a lot more serious, so it's like you've got to take it a lot more serious, whereas the island you can have fun, you can mess around, whereas this, like the Apprentice is life-changing, like if you win it, or even if you get like as far as I don't know, even the final four, I would say. It's just a lot more, and you're stressed, you're tired, you're being watched, you're being judged all the time. So there's just a lot more on it as the island, whereas you just dropped off on an island and it was like, I'll pick you up in 5 weeks, try and stay alive.
Do your best.
That makes sense. When you put it like, obviously on The Apprentice as well, you've got a business to push, to plug, to promote that is going to see you on past the show, whereas the island... Oh, shits and giggles while she's there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think another thing is...
down at Heathrow, it's done.
Yeah. And also, it's like your reputation. You're like, oh my God, if I look stupid on The Apprentice, people might then, like, does that lose the credibility of my business? Like, there's so many things that you have to think about. Whereas, The Island is literally, you go there, it's a big challenge, it's fun, but there's not an awful lot of pressure. It's just, can you, are you capable of making it through or aren't you? That's it, really.
Have you and your competitors from Apprentice all kept in touch? Is there like a group chat?
Yeah, we're like really close, actually. I like, they're some of my closest friends now. We've got a group chat and we speak quite a lot, and I see them quite a lot. I would say probably once a month. I'm seeing most of them this weekend, actually. It's a good friendship. I think when you've been through it together, you do make special friendships. And I don't know if it's like it with past years. I don't know. But I felt like we did all get on really well. And kind of what happened in the boardroom was always left in the boardroom. And it was kind of forgotten about when you got back to the house. And everyone genuinely cared for each other. They'd make sure you're okay. And if something did happen in the boardroom, you'd normally like have a little hug and it's forgotten. So I think that maybe that helped why we've got good friendships now.
And I think that's quite rare on The Apprentice. You don't really see that in many years. Do you know what I mean? They're normally like, it's a completely different ballgame. Whereas yours was everyone, although you're obviously competing against each other, you were still a team.
Yeah, I felt that.
And there was care and love for each other, even though you all know what the gig was. Whereas some year, it's just ruthless.
Yeah. When I went into the process, I was literally like, I'm going to meet people that are so savage. Like, they're going to be really horrible. And I was thinking, oh my God, these are going to be like really nasty people. And I couldn't believe how lovely everyone was. And I was like, this is weird, because you're like, you make these genuine friendships. Then when you've got to go up against them in the boardroom, you're like, oh, I don't want to say this. But at the same time, I think the key was just keeping it professional and sticking to the truths. Because I know that I knew when I messed up, and I knew when someone was going to say something that I did. So I wouldn't take it personally, because I probably knew anyway that it was going to come up, or I knew I had messed up. And I think everyone else was like that. And it was never personal. It was just facts. So I don't think you can really get funny about that. And so it keeps it quite nice when you do stick to the facts, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
What about Lord Sugar? What do you make of him? I actually saw he was causing some controversy today on Twitter, talking about he really wants people to go back to the office and thinks that anyone that stays working at home is lazy and blah, blah, blah. What was he like to be with?
I liked him. I mean, we didn't have loads to do with him, to be honest. He shot what he did, like he filmed his scenes and that was kind of it. But I got a lot of respect for him. Like, he's very direct, but then a lot of business people are. But I remember there was like one time in the boardroom and I started crying. They never aired it, thank God. But he actually was like, take a minute. Like, he was really kind and he said, like, look, calm down a minute, take a minute, I'll come back to you in a minute. And I thought that was really nice, because as an entertainment show, they could have kept pushing that and it probably would have made good TV, but they didn't show it in the edit. And he told me just to take a minute, calm down, and then he come back to me. And so, yeah, I like him a lot.
So do you think he plays a bit of a character like the pantomime villain, where it's like, just give you them few minutes, because you wouldn't expect him to really do it. Normally you would see him almost annihilated.
That's the thing. I don't think he's that bad. I just think, like, I don't think he's that savage. I think he's just direct. Like, that's it.
Nah.
I think.
Yeah. Like, and that's why he's a successful businessman.
Exactly. But then I think also, and I don't know if this is a weird way to look at it, but I'm always like, he's got kids who are like, and I always think when you've got kids, like, he might think, I don't know, like, if that was my kid or my daughter, like, sat there crying, I don't know, maybe that's, I just think, as he's got kids, maybe he thinks, right, if that was my daughter, I wouldn't, like, if someone kept going and going and going. So maybe that changed things, I don't know. But yeah, he's savage, like, no, not savage, he's direct, but I don't think he's savage.
No, I agree.
So what have you got coming up? You mentioned Christmas. What do you have any sort of big business plans, or what have you got coming up next? You're going to be expanding, all that sort of thing?
So Christmas, I'm looking forward to Christmas. I think Christmas is going to be a big, big year this year. Just because obviously the exposure from the program, and I've got a lot of stock. I'm pushing it a lot. I'm talking about it. And obviously now I've got quite a big, well, not massive, but a lot bigger social media following than what I did when I was building the business. Like, that's free advertising, so I can really shout about it on there. And then Pyjamaly, I'm nearly at the final stages of getting the restock from my UK manufacturer. So that's taken quite a while to get there. But as soon as I get the new stock from my UK manufacturer, I can really push that side of the business. So yeah, there's lots of exciting things going on. But yeah, it takes time.
It's exciting though, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just, yeah.
Strange in your head, but I guess you always have to be thinking, especially when something's seasonal like that, when you're designing, your head's in that space. By the time Christmas comes around, you're going to feel like it's spring.
I love Christmas. I mean, I would have Christmas all year, every year. So I don't care. Like, I get into my Christmas mindset in like May and I'll stay there till January. Then I'll have a couple of months and then I'll go back again.
So it's like the dream collection to do the Christmas one then.
I think so. I just love Christmas. Yeah. I've always loved Christmas. There's something so magical about it. So I think maybe because I feel that way about Christmas, having my own business in Christmas, like in the Christmas, what's the word? In the Christmas,
like, sphere.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's literally my dream business. So I think because it is my dream business, I put everything into it. Like, I love it so much. So I will spend, I'll be up till like one in the morning, just making sure it all ticks along nicely and planning different things. But yeah, I just love it.
And it's one of them businesses that works so well with social media, isn't it?
Yes.
Nowadays, so many families, you see the kids, the mum, the dad, all in like matching pajamas for the photo, for the gram.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have seen that 15, well, I don't think Instagram was even a thing 15 years ago. No. But we live in a time now where people kind of love that. You can't, it, I love it, where it's all like matchy-matchy. Like sometimes if you're ever on holiday and you kind of see a little boy wearing the same swimming shorts as his dad, I kind of love that.
So cute. Yeah. I love it. And I think I started my business at the right time. It was like when, like, Instagram is obviously just getting bigger all the time. But like you say, it wasn't around. So if I started this business idea 10 years ago, it probably wouldn't have worked. Mm. But because of the whole Instagram pick and all of that, that I think escalated my business quite quickly. Because even in the early kind of years, people were taking a photo in my pajamas and tagging my business. And as a small business like that, makes a big impact. So yeah. And it's just spiral. So again, this year it's going to happen, and maybe, you know, I'll just keep reaching more and more people, and then yeah. So it's a good business, like you say, an Instagrammable business, really, which is always good because it's a lot of free advertising when it's like that.
Absolutely. Exciting times ahead.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you mean you might ever go into any other items of clothing? Socks, I don't know.
Probably not socks. I mean, I do love the idea Christmas of swimwear. Socks. No, I love the idea of swimwear because, I mean, I don't have kids myself, but I know that if I did have kids, I would absolutely be matching with them when I'm on holiday.
Yeah,
so
I think.
So I think something like that, definitely. But I think at the moment, my focus is just pajamas because I need to get that to a point where I'm happy and I feel like I've still got a long way to go. So I think in the early stages of business, you don't want to take on too much I've got my niche at the moment, so I need to kind of expand on that. And once I've hit that where I want to get to, that's when I can then look to expand.
Understandable.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, amazing. I'm so happy for you, babe. I loved you on the show. And I think.
Oh, thanks.
Good things happen to good people.
Thank you. Yeah, it was good fun. I'm glad I did it.
We wouldn't be talking to you now probably if not. It was a great opportunity for you.
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much for speaking to us, Sue. I really appreciate it. And best of luck and Merry Christmas.
Probably thank you so much. Merry Christmas too.
Take care, darling.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Probably going to get into some trouble for saying Merry Christmas so early. But you know,
Christmas haters will be out.
This is how it works, you know. My mum's a big crafter, and she's been making Christmas craft since like middle of summer. Like when it was 40 degrees, she was making Christmas craft in her bungalow. So
people start early. I mean, I don't actually ever eat it. I don't think I eat it, but I know. Well, I know I don't eat it, but I've never tried it, but I know I don't like it, if that makes sense. Christmas puddings. Don't people start making them in the summer?
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, because you need them to like age and the alcohol to get in them and stuff. Yeah.
But because it's got brandy in it, I think.
I've never
I hate brandy, so I've never tried it.
Oh, you have to try a little spoonful, Bob.
See, I feel like I know I hate it. Isn't that weird?
Fair enough. Maybe this year's the year.
This is the year. Eurovision next. You're going to go Eurovision and eat a Christmas pudding.
What am I going to do? Get a tattoo?
In Benidorm.
Oh, yeah. Only a couple of weeks ago. Our final guest, Paige Storm from Love Island, is here. Let's get her in.
Fab.
Hi.
How are you, darling?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Really good, Faye. Oh, I love your dog.
Do you know what? It's not mine, it's Adam's, it's Storm.
Oh.
A dog, mum. I know. I can't believe it either.
Is Adam there?
Yeah, he's in the other room setting up the Alexas in the house. I was just like, I need an Alexa if I'm staying here, please.
How's life been since the end of Love Island? Seems like it's going pretty well if Adam's setting up the Alexas in the house.
He's not only setting up Alexas, the boys actually, do you know when a guy says, oh, you know, you just leave stuff here, I'll get you a drawer and everything else for the room, for the house. I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
Then. No, it's going so good. Since coming out, like, we've just like gone back and forth to each other's houses. So he's done two trips to Swansea. I'm now in Newcastle for the second time, and yeah, it's going really good.
And you bonded with the dog.
Bonded with a dog. I was actually, so they had this little pop-up store, right? And they had little dog treats, like little doggy donuts and stuff. I was like, oh, let's get some for the dogs. Literally, I didn't even like dogs before this, and Storm, and he's got another one, Stella. Storm and Stella have converted me. I'm like full-time dog mum now. It's great.
I've got to ask, obviously, I'm guessing you used to watch Love Island before you become an Islander and applied for the show.
Yeah.
How did you feel when Adam walked in, bearing in mind he'd already been on the show?
So, legit now, I genuinely didn't know who he was. I didn't realise he'd been on before, and I just had no idea. All the girls were like, Paige, this is Adam. And I was like, why is you saying his name like that? Like, I don't know who he is. And
then he's
like, literally, I was like, girls, I live on a rock. Like, I don't know who he is. And they gave me the lowdown. They're like, he was from, like, what season? He was this, he was that. They were, like, rinsing him, like, proper giving me the insights on what he used to be like. And then I got in the thing and I was just like, well, if he was like that, he's like, what's he doing in here? What's he coming in here for? He's just gonna be a little shitster. He's not gonna be friend with Jen. Like, I was going off. I was like, no, this guy is not gonna be it. And then literally I got pulled aside and they were like, Paige, why are you already writing him off before you've had a chat? And I was like, because of what the girls have been saying. I was like, I don't need to have a chat with him to know there's gonna be indifferent. And they're like, no, be open-minded and just talk to him and like give him a chance. And I was like, oh, whatever. I was like, fine, I'll do it. And then we had a conversation. I realized, like, shit. I was like, this is going to be a problem for me because it just went too good. And I was like, oh. And I was like, you know when, like, your friends tell you something, right? And then you don't listen. And then they say, I told you so later down the line.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, shit. I was like, what? I was like, what if I fully go down this line? The girls have been telling me what is that? And I'm already first chatting. And I'm already thinking, like, oh, okay. Kind of like the sound of this guy. So I had my conversation. I stayed open-minded. And here we are now, sat in his living room. Looking after the
girls, when the girls had originally all sat you down and gave you the 411, and then a producer pulled you aside and said, why are you writing him off? Had you in your head written him off at that point? Did you think there's no point even getting to know this geezer?
Yeah, I really did. I was just like, what is the point? He's just going to be a massive player. I'm not in here for a play. I'm in here for, like, you know, like something legit and something serious and a guy that can, like, look after me. And I don't need another, like, player that's going to, like, do me over after I was already going through that anyway. I was like, I don't need a second one. I do not need a round two. So, no, I'm not doing that. You can't make me. I'm not going out there. I'm not talking to him.
But what's it like in the real world? Because obviously, yeah, like you said, when somebody you don't have producers around and you know, you're not having to do confessionals and all that sort of thing. Like, what's it been like for you and him coming out?
On the outside. Do you know, it's been so good. This boy, I promise you, he's simping. He is simping. And it's great. I love it. He, like, we're making loads of effort to, like, see each other when we've got time off. Obviously, I'm living in Swansea and he's living in Newcastle. And when we're away, obviously, we just keep in touch and text and whatever. But then what we tend to do is, like, when we come together, we proper have quality time. So, like, it works really well in our favour that we're actually apart because we can both do what we need to do separately. And then when we come together, we just like have the best time. Even if it's something easy, like chilling, watching TV, because obviously we're so busy apart. Like when we come together, then it's a proper downtime, like normal, chill out, relaxed stuff. So yeah, no, it's really, really nice. And I don't have any of these like problems anymore. Like people being like, well, I suppose you get some of it, of like people being like, oh, this, that, what about all this, blah, blah, blah. But me and Adam know where we stand with each other. We know where we're at. We know what we're feeling. And we're just not really bothered about anyone else's opinions, you know?
And I guess the thing is, obviously, when you're in the feeling, it's almost like a holiday romance, isn't it? Like you're just seeing the best of each other. You're both out of your everyday lives. Now you're obviously spending time at each other's. Who's the clean one? Is there any, because you're at his now, is he tidy or does he, is there things that get on your tits? What's it like?
No, I love it. Do you know what? What's really, what does he do that annoys me?
It looks quite tidy from what I can see. So it looks like the boy hovers and he cleans.
I don't think this is him. I'm pretty sure he gets his stepmom to come down and help. And I'm pretty sure he gets to get any. Like, he doesn't do his own washing and he hasn't done his own washing for like how many years? And I'm just like, whoa. I was like, what is this?
You need
like,
to tame this boy.
So, any what are the bugging habits? Because you don't
do these
until you start staying around the geezer's house, do you? Does he leave the underwear on the floor?
Do you know, it's probably me that's the messy one, you know. I'm not going to lie, out of the two of us, I think it is me. Do you know, actually, he really sucks at separating recycling. Like, he was putting polystyrene in my plastic bin the other day, and I was like,
ooh.
Adam,
The little things.
I used to have a housemate that would always put crisp packets in the recycling. They used to be like, you can't recycle the crisp packets. You know, I'm recycling. He used to really get on my nerves. So I actually completely understand you there.
Yeah, I'm really anal about recycling. And the things some people think they can recycle, when I look at that, why?
I know.
I'll do it. Don't even bother.
Do it myself. Like, I will actually wash like plastic containers and tins out before I put them in the recycling as well. And he just doesn't care. He's just like,
I'm very pleased that you do that. I'm glad to hear it.
And who cooks? Do you cook for him while you're there? Does he cook or is it like a Deliveroo just eats?
It's Deliveroo, be out. I think neither of us, since being out of the villa, neither of us have ever cooked a meal since. I've not even bothered doing a food shop since I've been out because I'm not home. So we just eat out all of the time. Like, what did I have this morning? I had like a stack of pancakes with like half a tub of Nutella on, and honestly, ooh, I was living my best life.
That does sound perfect. Yeah. What are you planning on doing, like, together or separately now that you're out? What are you hoping to sort of make of your life, I guess?
Yeah, so we've got a few bits going on. So we both love holidays, we both love traveling, so we've got a lot of that. Now I'm obsessed with Christmas, like fully obsessed, so we kind of said like that's gonna be our big one this year. We're gonna try, like, you know, like all the Christmas markets. We're gonna start off in Scotland and do a bit like a road trip all the way down to Wales, like to England.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, and then we rate them as we go and like see which one was our favorite and stuff like that. I'm really looking for that one. I'm just obsessed. I don't know if you can already tell. Bonfire night as well. Like, I'm totally obsessed with that. So, like, obviously, Adam's got a lot of, like, PAs going on and, like, he's out and about. But, like, he's able to, like, obviously block off some dates that are just, like, free. And Bonfire night is one of them that he's blocked off for me. So, I was like, thank you. My birthday is coming up. So he's booked some time off for that. And we're just all the normal stuff, really, that couples would just usually do together, like holidays, just normal bits and bobs. And then separately, I know he's doing really well with his gym stuff. He's got a second one coming, which is exciting for him. And then obviously I just signed a deal with Forever Unique, which I'm super excited to drop my edit box for October.
Tell us a bit about that.
Congrats. I love Steamer. It's such an amazing brand.
Oh, honestly, and Seema's so lovely as well. Like, honestly, they was literally walked in and it was just like you've known them forever. She's like, oh, this is lush. I love this.
The kindest lady. So
it really is. So I'm one of those people, I'm either like super tomboy and casual, or I'm super, super girly and overdressed. Like, there's never really an in-between. So today we've gone for the tomboy look, as we can see. so my edit with Friday Unique is basically super, super girly, super fun, a bit of glitz, a bit of glam, right before Christmas. Everyone needs a bit of that, a bit of a sparkle before Christmas. So, yeah, I'm really excited for everyone to see. It's honestly, it's given Emily in Paris vibes, but bougie, you know?
Oh, so she's fashionable. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
And perfect items for people's, like you say, New Year's Eve, Christmas parties. The ideal time for, a little bit of sparkle.
A little bit of fun, do you know what I mean? And
absolutely.
Just a statement. Every piece is just a statement, and I'm just here for it all.
Babe, I wanted to ask, obviously, it's just been announced that Laura Whitmore's stepping down from host of Love Island. How do you feel about that?
It was absolute news to me because obviously she's amazing on there, and obviously Ian's doing it as well, and they just bounce off each other so well on the show. But I'm sure, and her after son, her on the after son's absolutely incredible. I had so much fun on there with her. But I have no idea what's going on or why or whatever, but I'm sure whatever she's going to next is going to be just as great. Just as great. Also be sad to see her go. Don't know who's going to be taking her mark and if anyone can even top that. But
is there anyone you'd like to see?
Do you know what? I've heard Maura Higgins is in the running. I'm absolutely obsessed. Not even gonna lie, I'm fangirling a little bit, but she would be great on her, I think.
Yeah, fair. I can see that.
Yeah, she's got the cheeky chat for it, hasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
I can see a bit of that.
Who have you stayed closest to from the villa?
Tash, India, Ekin, Jem, Dami, all of them really. Andrew.
You were pretty friendly year, really, this year. There wasn't a huge amount of drama, was there?
No, exactly. The production team did so well with, like, not even just, like, pairing people up in couples, but, like, a big group of people that all got on as well. Mm. Like, obviously, there were some moments where people had arguments and stuff, but, I mean, we all come out with our friends, so it really wasn't that deep.
Which is quite rare, because I think more controversy was happening outside the villa from people talking about what was happening in than actually was in. What's your thoughts on that? Have you seen and read a lot of the stuff? Like, there was a lot of people saying that they don't think the boys was respecting and treating the girls right.
I came out, and I'm not one of these people that, like, really read into a lot of things, because I don't want to see anything negative, and I don't want it to, like, you know, get me down or anything like that. So I'm not on Twitter, for example. I'm not on Facebook, and I'm obviously on Instagram, you only see what comments on your posts. So I haven't really seen a huge amount of it. I've heard, obviously, that some things have gone around and been said, but at the same time, everyone is still talking and still mates. So, and we have to remember, the show is a show, and what gets shown isn't everything. So, and it's always they're going to want to show as much drama as possible, right? Because that's how we keep everyone entertained and whatnot. So it's not always as dramatic as what it might be shown as. It might not always be as deep as what it's shown as. So I think there's been words thrown about, like, bullying and all this, and I don't know if it's as far as bullying from being inside the villa and seeing it, like, for the 24/7, but yeah, it's been a lot going on. But like I said, everyone's come out more or less mates, so it's not that deep.
Fair enough. I can see that. Well, Paige, thank you so much for joining us, Stephen. Say hi to Adam, and I hope he manages to set up all your Alexa before you get off here. And good luck with the clothing edit as well.
Oh, thank you so, so much. Means a lot.
Take care, darling. Lovely to speak with you.
And you. See you soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye. It's so nice to see people when they come off Love Island and they're still sort of like their happy, cheery, smiley selves, isn't it? And
really nice.
And you know, they're
a lovely girl.
Yeah, definitely. Not let it get to their head, I guess, because it must be quite overwhelming when you first come out of the villa, having to deal with the attention that you get.
Mm.
But yeah, good for her. Well, great show.
Good show, babe.
What you got coming up this week, Bob? Anything exciting?
I don't think much. Do you know what, for me, what always throws me after a bank holiday is I lose all track of days. So I kind of don't know where I am. That Monday always throws me, but nothing that I can think of. Actually, I always say this, and then there is always something planned in. I never know until the day, to be fair. How about you, babes?
I'm going to Margate this weekend, which would be nice. Yeah. Going to go see a friend, which would be really nice. Yeah, we're gonna get a couple of gay bars. Well, there's a new gay bar apparently in Margate, so we're gonna go there, and also just go and enjoy the beach and that. Apparently, the weather's not gonna be too good, but you know, we're British, we'll deal with it. Yeah. So yeah, looking forward to that. It'll be fun.
And then, how long did you say till you go Benners?
About 4 weeks.
How exciting! I bet you're looking forward to that now.
Yeah, I am. I've actually got a friend who's out there at the... Well, he's going today. So he's going to give me the lowdown on some good places to go. So, yeah, really looking forward to it. But still seems like a little way away at the moment.
It's just nice to have things to look forward to, though, isn't it? Like you say,
definitely
you buy yourself a couple of books. You're saying you want to get back into reading.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect time for it.
Gorge.
I'm excited to hear about your travels. I'm going to live vicariously through you.
Yeah, what? You should be getting away, Bob. What are you doing?
It's a funny... so many people say going away on your own is such a good thing to do. And I kind of get that. I mean, I live alone. I love my own space and my own company. Obviously, love being around people. But I think some people can't be on their own.
No.
But I've never done it, but never say never.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, Bob. I'd like to see it. Right, well, until next week, thanks for listening, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.